a vow unto the Lord. The dear ones sitting here today in the front row before our Heavenly Father, and with you, dear brethren, has made a consecration vow. And the vow that she has made is the real baptism. The symbol is found in the water, which you shall soon complete. For indeed, dear Sister Alex, you shall complete this symbol today by water immersion before these witnesses, and you will become part of the family, part of the body of Christ. You have responded to the call, give me thine heart and observe my ways. Proverbs 23:26. And in so doing, you have joined with those around you, not only here today, but with your brethren from around the world, the consecrated footstep followers of the Lord. But you have also joined with those dear ones who have walked this narrow way before. Those who are no longer with us, but we together with them are yoke fellows with our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. You have set your love and affections upon God and His dear Son, who as yet you have not seen, but you love. You have repented from sin and are trusting in the precious blood of Christ. Look at Psalm 34, verse 8. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a contrite heart, a sincere sorrow for sin. You fully realize that there was no other name by which you, with us, can be delivered from this sin-sick and dying world. You have been willing to give up earthly inheritance from the Father to set your affections on things above for the hope of a heavenly inheritance. The Father sees and hears all things, and He reads the innermost desires of our hearts. He knows those who are sincere in their beliefs, and because the Lord sees His little flock, has set their affections, has set their love and devotion on Him, really all that you have and all that you are now belongs to the Lord. And He has promised to reward you with a prize too wonderful to comprehend. And as we know, that is glory and honor and immortality. As we will see to those who have previously made a consecration, we realize that to accomplish this involves a sacrifice. Let's look at our theme text from Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all His people. It seems to imply that the Lord requires a public confession, a witness before men. So we pay our vows unto the Most High. What shall I render? I will give my all. I will set my affections on Him. That's the first part of our theme text. The second part of our verse, and observe my ways, to study about the character of God, walking in the Lord's footsteps, applying what we have learned to be faithful in thought and word and deed in our own lives. And I think really this condition of heart is so well expressed in the 116th Psalm. It's a condition of our hearts and our new minds. Remember that old things are passed away. All things become new. You and I know, brethren, that these words are found in the morning resolve. And isn't that fitting? For when we gave our hearts to the Lord, made our consecration, it really was the beginning of a new day. A new day for us. A new day in which we entered into a covenant relationship with Him, vowing from that day forward to fill up your dear sister, your covenant of consecration, of sacrifice, even unto death, taking the cup of salvation, dying daily. 1 Corinthians 15:3. So also we should remember that we have vowed to live our lives each day with an attitude of heart and an attitude of mind, that we are reaffirming our heart's desire to be, to do, to suffer in fellowship with our dear Lord, that we might, by His grace, make each day one of laying down our lives in service to Him through self-sacrifice, and then in overcoming the world, in overcoming the spirit of the world. We have often heard these words in our vow. Are they merely words, or are they a way of life to us? Are we striving to put down the weaknesses and desires of the flesh? Are we striving to resist the adversary? And then in turn to do all that we can to glorify our Lord and in blessing His people. I resolve that I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I resolve not to seek and honor self but the Lord. I resolve that I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I resolve to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren, and that I will be honest with all whom I have to do, but not only in the great matters of life, the things that are seen of men, but in the little things of life, the little things that are day by day, moment by moment, the things known only to us and the Lord. Trusting myself to the divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek to be pure in heart and to neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit. And why? Because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. Because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may, no matter what circumstances, our Lord is with us. He's guiding and directing us. He's leading us in the straight paths. And He's helping us to overcome our shortcomings and weaknesses. Do we daily have the words from a vow unto the Lord committed to our character? May Thy rule come into my heart more and more, and Thy will be done in me, that I may rely on the promised grace to help in every time of need. What a blessed assurance that the Lord is with us, a faithful Father, and we are compelled to continue to strive to put our faith and trust and hope in Him. And if we do this, we should have the attitude, may I approach You, Father, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Please help me to remember at the throne of heavenly grace the harvest work, the preaching of the glad tidings of great joy that shall be to all people, that I am privileged to enjoy. I have this hope that Thy precious promises are being fulfilled, and that I will remember the dear co-laborers everywhere. We should be ever thankful to the Father, for we owe our all to Him through His Son. 1 Corinthians 8:6. All things are by the Father and through the Son. Remember the words, ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Again, in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Our understanding of this shows that our time, our talent, our influence, our money, and all that we would consider precious or in any degree valuable properly belongs to the Lord. And you know, even our life itself. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present with us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What beautiful words from the Apostle Paul, and it comes from a consecrated heart, these words from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 14 to 18. And we realize that as the church will be the temple of God, perfect on the heavenly plane, so then each member begotten of the Holy Spirit as new creatures has to realize that God is dwelling with you and that he has promised to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. Let us have the Holy Spirit ruling in our mortal bodies. And how then can we have other than the peace of God ruling there also? He has promised to give us peace and rest from the distractions of the world, to keep our minds focused on him through the Holy Spirit and the development of the fruits and graces of that wonderful Holy Spirit. If we turn to a text from Hebrews 12, 3-6, it recalls to mind some examples that we have to follow. And certainly that prime example is our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, unless you become faint and weary in your minds. And oh, brethren, our mind can really be a special battleground for us because it involves our old man and the new man. And they are at odds. We're fighting against the flesh's resistance to sacrifice. But the new mind, the new will, energized by the Holy Spirit, is able to gain a victory over that because we're covered under the robe of Christ's righteousness. And he helps us to go on in our narrow way, to improve, to grow, to develop in a way pleasing to him. We should rejoice that our Lord has invited us to walk in his footsteps, that he has invited us to experience the same types of experiences that he went through, to drink whatever the Father shall pour out for us in our cup, his cup, the cup of suffering, of self-sacrifice. It is then our desire to symbolize what has taken course in our lives, our complete consecration to walk in his footsteps. Again, taking up our cross to follow him, and to faithfully endure to the end, never putting that cross down. And so, we realize that one aspect of walking in his footsteps is taking the step of water baptism, of immersion. Because we realize we're giving our all to him. We're putting our hands in the, we're putting ourselves in the Lord's hands. And as the immerser dips the dear one into the water, they are really dead. And when they come up, it's to a newness of life, walking in the footsteps of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus seemed to give a formula for water immersion when he said, "Teach all nations, gather out those who are willing to be my disciples, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." spoken in Matthew 28:19. And because you have given your life to the Lord in consecration vow, you, dear sister Alex, desire to follow his example and his instructions, and to symbolize your own consecration by water immersion, because through a loving heart, you are willing to do what the Lord wants you to do. This is done in and by the authority of, not in the likeness of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, but because the Father and the Holy Spirit did not die, we are not only baptizing into Christ, but in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. Again, it means that we are baptized into Christ in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. It's not merely something that our Lord Jesus instructed and wished for us to commemorate, but he wished for us to know that when we did, we were doing something in harmony with the will of God, our Father, the will of the Holy Spirit, as well as in harmony with our own spirit. And so baptism is indeed approved by our Lord Jesus, approved by the Heavenly Father, and approved by the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. And certainly, as loving children, we want, we desire to please him in all things. You know, it's really evident that through the gospel age, baptism into Christ Jesus has really symbolized a union with him and a membership in the one body, the bride. And as we said earlier, you now become yoke fellows with the Lord. And then you look around this room. This is your family. These are your brothers and sisters. And they share a common love for the Lord. And they love you with an unfeigned love, but it's a desire to have your best interests completed in your life, an unselfish love. The full importance of baptism, the reality of which is the immersion in water, as demonstrated by and commanded by our Lord, is a symbol of having made a full consecration to the Heavenly Father, as we have said earlier. This is clearly shown by the Apostles' words, "Know ye not that as many of us as were immersed into his death, immersed into Christ Jesus, those who see the high calling of this gospel age to join heirship with Christ Jesus, our Lord, as members in particular of the body of Christ, of which the Redeemer is the head and Lord, know that our attainment of that high honor, it really depends upon our acceptableness as members in that body of Christ. And you are invited into this body of Christ, the church of the firstborns, whose names are written in heaven, those who know Christ as their Redeemer or Justifier and are called according to his word. Such, therefore, are justified freely from all things by faith in his blood. These are invited to become joint sacrificers and joint heirs with Christ." If we look, dear brethren, at the tabernacle arrangement, the blemished of the flock were not acceptable on the Lord's altar. Under the law, as a type of God's rejection during this age of all imperfect offerings, we realize that our Lord was actually the spotless, unblemished, perfect Lamb of God. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He was sacrificed for our sins, and inviting some then to be joint heirs with him, to take up their cross following him, giving up their own earthly inheritance. And then he gave them the opportunity to go on, if faithful, to those wonderful rewards that lie beyond this life of its trials and testings and joys and sorrows and experiences to the glory and honor and immortality that lies beyond the veil. When the bride is complete, and then will bring blessings to all the families of the earth. Another aspect that we want to consider is the anointing and begetting of the Holy Spirit. We realize it's the power and influence of God. It's in reprint 40, 48. It applies to the oil the priest were anointed with. And it really is a picture of consecration. Remember that the holy anointing oil was used to inaugurate the kings of Israel into office? Remember also David, anointed by Samuel, as instructed by the Lord to do so in 1 Samuel 16. It brings out in verses 1 to 12. It was an announcement of God's choice. And it's really important to note that God does the choosing. He chose you, Sister Alex. He chose each of us. He chose us first. We were called according to His purpose. Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundation of the world, you were called, you were chosen, that you should be of a holy, royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. As lively stones, you are built up in a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So this oil, it consecrated and sanctified Aaron and his sons. And we realize again that it is a picture of the anointing of the Christ, head and body, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For our Lord and His footstep followers are especially anointed, consecrated to do future work. We remember in this course of the pouring of the oil poured out on the head of the priest and onto their garments, Exodus 28:6, the ephod, the breastplate, the Urim and Thummim, Exodus 28:15, robe, mitre, coat of linen, and so forth. Again, Aaron the high priest picturing our Lord forever after the order of Melchizedek. The ephod picturing the Abrahamic covenant, the front part, the spiritual phase, the back part, the earthly phase. And then the girdle, which showed that our Lord was a servant of the Abrahamic covenant. And it shows His sacrifice in the robe, the ephod, in Zechariah 6:13. Anointing oil poured on Aaron's head. Again, it ran down to, from the head, Christ, to His followers, given this Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and then, as it's brought out in Acts 2:23, it comes through Jesus that God hath raised up to the right hand, and now we have received the promise of the Holy Spirit to those in the upper room, and then to us, now, who are called according to His word. And it continues on through the gospel age to us, brethren, at this end of the age. 1 John 2:27. The anointing which ye have received of Him abide in you, even as it hath taught you. For now, brethren, we are the sons of God, and if sons, then heirs and joint heirs with Him, through the promise. 1 John 3:2. The anointing again which ye have received abideth in you. It then teaches you, it helps you, it will guide you to all things, to all truth. We need nothing else. There are no teachers in the world that can show us this. The creeds of men, the doctors of men. But our Lord spoke those words that will guide you to all things in John 16:13. It helps us to develop as candidates for the royal priesthood, to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, Philippians 1:1, and in Acts 14:17, fill up our hearts with food with gladness, spiritual food. Again, developing the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. Then we must press on to that mark that is set before us, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, studying to show yourselves acceptable to him. Whatsoever you findeth to do, do it to serve him and the cause of truth and righteousness. Do it with thy might, with all thy might, and with all your heart. Again, it's your reasonable service. You know, brethren, the beginning of the Holy Spirit in the case of each one is indeed an individual matter. It is a transforming power by which this one passes from the human nature or mind to the new mind or will, Philippians 2:5. And let that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:12. It tells us that we must be of a willing mind. And a willing mind is then a teachable mind. A mind that studies and grasps through the Holy Spirit even the deep things of God, which have been revealed unto you. Paul's further words showed a desire that the Gentiles would be bound in the hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:13. And again, these aspects are beautifully pictured in the tabernacle type, as performed by the priest. The priest passes from the court into the holy. The court represents in the present time the earthly condition. Those who go on then to make a full consecration enter into the holy. And when this step is taken, Jesus, acting as our high priest, imputes his merit to cover our fleshly deficiencies and presents us to the Father. Again, the first offering was on the Day of Atonement. It was a bullock which typified the man, Christ Jesus. And it was because of this offering and by the act of consecration that the Lord became the Anointed One, sacrificing himself even unto death, even the death on the cross, and suffering the ignominy and the shame. He finished that offering again, typified by the bullock at his death. And then it's shown in the type, he took the blood and proceeded into the most holy, there to appear in the presence of God for us, those of the household of faith. And now we go on until the church is complete. Colossians 1:24, filling up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ. So then our consecration of earthly nature is made acceptable, and in divine reckoning we are at that point dead according to the flesh. But we are alive, reckoned as a new creature in Christ Jesus, growing and developing each day in a way pleasing to him. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us through thanksgiving to God to sing praises unto him. 2 Corinthians 4:15-17. For all things are for your sakes, the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of the many redound to that glory of God again, for which cause we faint not. But though that outward man perish, the new man is renewed day by day. Again, we look at the things which are not seen because they are eternal. He's promised us everlasting joy, peace, light, life, glory. Indeed, we are rich in so many ways. So, brethren, while not many wise are called, not many of the Lord's people are financially wealthy, not many mighty, not many noble are called, we know that this is a type of wealth now that is promised, but never earthly promises of wealth to the children of God, but laying up treasures in heaven with that moth and rust cannot condemn, cannot corrupt. And you know, we see it now in the enrichment of our heart. we see and know, we realize the blessings that come with this King in the Lord's footsteps of following close to God. In another place, Paul speaks of himself and his co-laborers in the gospel work as poor, yet making many rich. These faithful servants of God made many rich in hope, rich in faith, rich in love, and in all the various aspects of the graces of God, which supplieth the needs of the saints. The words are found in, for the administration of the service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And the Diaklet renders it the dispensing of public service. So it shows us that we have to do our all to serve Him. For these dear servants of God, you, each of you, dear brethren, I see the results of your labors. I see how you are glorifying God on the account of this proof of the ministration. You're doing service, and you've done it with all gladness. During this convention, there's been rejoicing, there's been fellowshipping, there's been good lessons taught. And our desire then is to apply it to our daily lives. To take something away each day in our studies that we can, again, use to help to mold and shape and polish us into the image of our dear Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. We made this vile subjection to be of the anointed, Isaiah 52:7, glad tidings of great joy that then shall be to all people. If we complete our consecration vow, we help to bring these good tidings of great joy to all people. And it includes all the wonderful scriptures that point out the blessings to the world of mankind. Certainly that these are part of this. And also that we should have a share in this work. Giving again all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Taking up your cross, follow me. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life. And he gives us so many wonderful assurances that we can put all of our faith and trust in him. And what did our Lord say? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And shouldn't this be part of our administration? Part of our taking up our cross? Part of our joy in knowing Him and calling Him Father and approaching Him through His dear Son? And remembering those, again, of our brethren that are co-laborers with us, going through difficult trials and experiences, and by the prayer on your behalf that has been rendered unto for you, that you would also use this wonderful aspect, the privilege of prayer. Because these in your family ardently love you on account of the surpassing favor of God bestowed upon you, that you have made a consecration to walk in His footsteps. This is the most important part of our ministry. It is pointing to our sincerity of heart, a true concern for one another, for those in the household of faith, praying diligently for them. And these are important things for the church of Christ, the church that is subject to Christ to do. Ephesians 5:24. We pray for peace in Philippians 4, for wisdom in James 1:5. Rest, Hebrews 4:1-9. Really, all things, 1 Timothy 6:17. To the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, through the Father, the sanctification of the Spirit is unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. In His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. And to what, brethren? To an inheritance incorruptible, reserved for us in heaven, that your faith be more precious than gold that would perish, though it be tried by fire. The trials and experiences that you, dear one, will have, that we're all sharing in, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:1-7. Now, dear brethren, in a moment I'm going to ask our dear sister Alex several questions, but just to bring out a few points about our dear sister Alex Lockhart. She got the truth from Sister Yvonne Zurich down in Australia, who she knew during her high school days in Melbourne. And then she was nurtured along by the Charltons, who are here today to witness her baptism. What a wonderful tie of love and compassion that they helped her then, and they're here to accept her with all of us into the body of Christ. And then she moved to the Northwest, and our dear sister Ginger Brand and dear brother Michael encouraged her, helped her along, brought her to a meeting. And here she is today, still with the Seattle Brethren. And she has grown. Her consecration has grown. Her love has grown for the Lord. And now she has decided to symbolize what has already taken place in her heart by water immersion today. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be here and to be part of this beautiful experience. And now I'm going to ask dear sister Alex to please rise and answer several questions to show if she is suitable to be acknowledged as a member of the Church of Christ. Do you realize that you are a sinner? Have you been repented of sin? And are you trusting in the merit of Christ's sacrifice for forgiveness of sin and as the basis of your justification? Have you made a full consecration of yourself, vowing to give your all to the Lord, to be used in His service, even unto death? On the basis of these confessions, we acknowledge you as a member of the household of faith and will gladly give you the right hand of fellowship in the name of our glorified Lord and His dear Son. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, direct your paths in all things. Amen.